We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we study another precious section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open the meaning of Scripture to us as only you can do, and that you prepare our hearts and enable us to receive them as we grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior. Pray this in His name. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 21. The rich get richer. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. So the Lord Jesus now gives us another parable, this one talking about his elect. And he brings to light the picture of a candle, candlestick. And Matthew tells us the same thing. He puts it this way in Matthew 5, verse 15. Matthew 5:15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all them that are in the house. Notice that, all them that are in the house. And Luke, in 11:33, which we'll get to someday, God willing, if Christ doesn't come back first, Luke 11:33, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Kind of a double shot here. And it's interesting to me that the ones who see the light are the ones that are in the house, or the ones that come into the house. So it has been said that the lamp here is a receptacle for oil. It has a snout on one end through which the wick passes, and has a carved handle on the opposite end. A slender stand, usually made of metal, was provided for this lamp, and when the lighted lamp was brought in by a servant, it was placed on this stand so that those coming in might see. Now, they didn't have electricity in those days where they could flick a little switch and the whole room would be filled with light. And that's been a real blessing to us. But at the same time, something has been lost. Because there's something about a candle lit in a room that has a pleasant look to it. Back when we were in Beaver Dam, my grandmother gave us a gift of money for Christmas, and we decided to buy a lamp with it. And it was a kerosene lamp, and it was a rather large one that we could put on the table. And so we would turn all the lights off in the house and light this kerosene lamp, and it had a very pleasant orangish glow to it. And I really enjoyed that. And when people would come to visit, they enjoyed walking in the house when that lamp was there. It had a warmness to it that electric lights just simply do not have. Eric Sloan wrote an almanac and weather forecaster, and he tells about the time when he used to go down to the shore of a lake at night, and him and his friends would light a bonfire, and they would fish from the shore in the light of this fire. And he said it was a very pleasant experience. And then one year they put electric lights down there and it blasted the mystery of the night forever. He didn't want to go down there anymore. So there's something about this. And now Christ picks up on this and says, one of the I Ams, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's in John 8, verse 12, and then verse 9, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Interesting that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And he says the same thing to us. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Matthew 5, 14, he says, well, let me tell you what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, you should be the light of the world. You should be. He doesn't say that. He says, ye are the light of the world. That's a statement of fact. Every single elect child of God that's filled with the Holy Spirit is the light of the world. That's all of us. It doesn't mean we should be, because we are. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And every single time you have a true faith, works go right along with it. The book of James talks about this. It's we have different gifts. Every child of God has different gifts. And we use these gifts sometimes, which no other person has, to the honor and glory of God. Dorcas, I believe it was, that had a gift of making coats. And when she died, the people were remembering her by the good works that she did by making these coats. And others of us have different gifts too. So it's not all the same. But the fact of the matter is, every child of God is the light of the world. And the Son of God then gives us another warning here, which he always does. He says, nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. This is an amazing statement. It's an amazing statement. Because the children of the devil like to do their works in darkness where nobody can see them. And this, they have this idea that they're never going to be found out. But the fact of the matter is, God has some books. He has some books. We're not talking about the book of Holy Scripture. He has that too. But he's got other books. And this is an amazing truth, and it's amazing, an amazing statement that in the final judgment day, God is going to bring out all these books, and the books are going to be opened. This is taught, by the way, in the Old Testament also. We're thinking of Daniel chapter 10, or chapter 7 rather, verse 10. Daniel 7, 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. This is going to come as a terrible shock to the children of the devil. So that was said in the Old Testament. New Testament says the same thing. Now in the book of Revelation, final book of Scripture, Revelation 20, beginning verse 12 rather. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is the final resurrection. And the books were opened. Books, plural. And another book, singular. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So you've got a ton of these other books. They're opened, and one book is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So the children of the darkness thought this was all hidden and it would never come to light. God has different plans. It's kind of like a curtain call at the end of a play, where at the end, everybody that was in the play, all of a sudden they all come on the stage together. And that's kind of like this Judgment Day is going to be. We're all going to be there. And the books are going to be opened. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5 says this. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. God always looks at the heart. We know that by now. And then shall every man have praise of God. So, well, what's the big deal about this? It is a big deal. It's a very big deal. God always honors his own Son. And when Jesus Christ walked the face of this earth, he was criticized by the VIPs in the church. And they said, he's in cahoots with Beelzebub, the devil. That's how he's able to do these works. He gets power from the devil. He's working with them. They said that about the Son of God. He's a deceiver. Well, this is all going to be brought out in the open at the last day. And a Son of God is going to come back, not like he did the first time, in humbleness to suffer and die, but this time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to have a glorified body, and everybody is going to see him, and the wicked deeds of darkness are going to be brought out into the open, and God is going to defend the honor of his Son. And that's important. That's important. It's been said that the only thing you really have is your reputation, your name, your good name. If somebody takes that away, you can't get it back again. But God can. And God loves the bride also. And so children of God, the bride of Jesus Christ, are slandered in this world. We're lied to. And bishop gossip is spread to us. It happens. Just like it did to Christ, we follow his footsteps. And we can't get our reputation back on this earth. You can't do it. You just can't do it. I've told you the story before about this woman that was spreading lies about another woman, deceiving and all that sort of thing, and she finally had a change of heart, I guess. Anyway, she went to the priest and confessed her sin, and that she'd been slandering this other woman, and the priest said, you go home and get a feather pillow and you come back tomorrow. So she went and got a feather pillow. She came back into the church. He said, let's go up to the bell tower, top of the bell tower. So she went up there. It was a windy day. So he took a knife, he cut open the pillow, and he let all the feathers go out into the wind, and it spread all over the country. And he told the woman, now you go back and you pick up every one of those feathers. She said, I said, impossible, I can't do that. He said, that's right. And the wicked, vicious, slanderous lies that you told about this other woman, you can't take that back either. Her reputation is ruined. Well, it's only going to be ruined until the final day. God's going to bring all this out, and his people are going to be honored by it. And that's important. That's important. Some of our friends even join in that. They believe lies. And we'll go to our grave and they'll be believing these lies and it ruined our reputation. But there's a final day coming when this is all going to be made right. It's important. So the gospel is a mystery. And when we think of a mystery, we think of something you can't possibly know. But that's not the way the Bible uses the word. The mystery is something that you can't know by your own self, but the mystery can be known if somebody tells you what it is. And it so happens that we have a friend that tells us what the mystery is, and that's called the Holy Spirit. And he opens this mystery to us in Scripture. And we think of Ephesians chapter 3, book of Ephesians, a beautiful book, beginning with verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed to his holy apostle and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, that's you and me, which one time had no part in the kingdom of God, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. So we have been engrafted into the tree of God's elect. This is important. Now comes another warning. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. He's talking about church people, especially singling them out, the ones that are in church every Sunday. Go to church every Sunday. He says, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. And then he says this, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. A couple things here. The rich get richer. Matthew 25:29 puts it this way. Matthew 25:29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from that which him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath, or which he seemeth to have. There is a wonderful, wonderful thing we'd like to especially talk to the children right now. And that is that your parents are teaching you to study Scripture every day. They teach you, first of all, to pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that wrote the book for you. It's your book. And he's the one that can reveal mysteries to you. And when your parents teach you to do this, this is never going to stop. When you get older, you'll still be keep studying Scripture every day, and you'll teach your children to do the same thing. And you're going to find out something. And this is an amazing thing. When you get older, the more you're going to understand of Scripture. It's an amazing thing. Whoever has, have a stunning, an understanding of the Word, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. This is an amazing thing. You can study, and us older people can tell you this, and you'll find it out too, but we'll give a witness to you. There are some passages that I've probably studied 20 times during my life, and I can still learn more from the same passage. And I've had this happen sometimes. You know, children can do this, by the way. I've had this happen in my Bible study when my wife and I were raising our children in Scripture every day. And sometimes one of our children, sometimes the smallest ones, would come up with something that we hadn't seen before. That's how the Holy Spirit works. And you're going to, spiritual riches are the greatest riches you can have, because they're going to last forever. I'm not going to end. And when you pray for the Holy Spirit, he keeps giving you these things more and more and more and more and more, and you become spiritually a multimillionaire. Whoever hath, more shall be given, and he shall have in abundance. And you love the Word of God. This only comes when you love the Word of God and you pray for the Holy Spirit. It's not doing reading the Bible, oh, I have to. No, you don't have to. You want to. You want to. And the greatest gift that you can have is an understanding of Scripture, and it grows and grows and grows. You'll find that out. It's a wonderful thing when it happens. The other thing is that the ones who don't really have an understanding of Scripture, although they think they do, they're going to lose even that which they seem to have. So there are only two kinds of people in this world. Ones that are extremely rich in spiritual understanding, and the others that end up with nothing. And they go down to the pit to be with their father, the devil. This happens all the time. These people that they're deceived. Deception. They think that because they know something, they really believe it. That's not true. You can know something and it won't affect your life at all. Knowledge is in the head. And faith is in the heart. And God always looks at the heart. So if you're studying under the guidance of the Holy Spirit every day, you are going to be a multi-billion, billion, trillion, trillion, trillion rich person spiritually. That's going to happen to all of God's elect. And we are all the light of the world. Not we should be, but we are. So this is what Jesus is teaching. And then the devil throws a clinker, of course, here. He always does that. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. So this is rather odd. Jesus is having a Bible study here with a multitude of people, and mom came up to him with his brothers, and probably sisters also. They want to talk with him. What did they want to talk with him about, I wonder? Well, we don't have to wonder. Mark tells us this in chapter 3:21, and we have looked at this before. Mark 3:21, when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him. Why? For they said, he is beside himself. He's out of his mind. He doesn't know what he's doing. And his mother and his brethren came to him with this. Somehow Mary got sucked into this. And when he was in Nazareth, Mark 6 verse 3, we've looked at this already, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They thought he was going out of his mind, and they tried to stop what he was doing. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And what did he answer? He didn't say, well, I'm sorry, the Bible study is over right now. I got to talk to my mother and my brothers who don't believe in me anyway. He answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Interesting. There is something I just want to end on this point, that the light as it shines from God's elect is a product of the Holy Spirit. And it's Him that's doing it, not us. And the works that we do as our light shines were predestinated that we would do them before the foundation of the world. We don't decide to be a witness for Christ. This is of the Holy Spirit. And very, very often, the ones that are doing this, their light is shining, they don't even know it. They don't even know it. It's not like, well, I'm going to go out there and shine for Christ today. That's not the way it works. The Pharisee works that way. Oh, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. And you know that story. I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. I'm so good. The children of God are not like that. And in Matthew 25, where we have this picture of the final judgment here, and I know you've read this, but just listen to it and what it means. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. This is the final curtain call that we've been talking about. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So now there's only two kinds of people. There's sheep and goats. Right hand, left hand. That's the only distinction that makes any difference. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit, you inherit something, you don't earn it, you inherit because somebody loved you and died for you and left them in his will, and that's Christ. You inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The kingdom that you and I are going to be living in is all set, by the way. He's preparing a house for us, but the kingdom was given to us and prepared before the foundation of the world. And then I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. And I was sick, and it visited me. I was in prison, and ye came, and it came unto me. And they didn't say, well, yeah, we knew that our light was shining for you, and now we're going to be rewarded for that. They didn't say that. What did these people whose light was shining, what did they say? Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee? When did that happen? Or thirsty, and ye gave me drink? When did we do that? Or we saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee. When saw thee we sick or in prison and came unto thee? When did we do all this? They weren't even aware of it. They weren't even aware of it. Good works naturally follow, I maybe should say spiritually follow, when you have a true faith and the Holy Spirit causes your light to shine. Not that you should, you are. You are the light of the world. You're doing this. You don't have any, you children of God don't have any idea how many good works you're doing. You don't have any idea. The king shall answer unto, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And to zero in on one specific area, most of this, or much of it, is done in the home. It's done in the home. And a Christian father and mother, we're not even aware we're doing this. It's a natural thing. Our light is shining, and the Holy Spirit is every day producing good works in us. And it even gets down to this twice. And when God mentions something twice, it's really important. Okay, Matthew 10:42. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. A reward for giving one of your little children a cup of water? You're going to get a reward for that? Yeah. Yeah. Or Mark 9:41. Whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. So, this is the kind of God we worship. He gives us rewards for even such a little thing as giving a child a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple. We live for Christ. We are the light of the world. And the Holy Spirit brings forth good fruits in our life. He does it.